Beloved children of God, just a few days ago, last Sunday, we gathered together on that glorious mountain of transfiguration with Jesus. What a difference a few days makes. Today, we are coming down the mountain on the other side, where everything flows toward the cross. It's Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the season of Lent. We move from the blazing light of transfiguration to the dark stain of ashes on our forehead. Just casually paging through the Bible quickly reveals that there's lots of room there for darkness and for lament alongside of brightness and joy. Just for example, Psalm 88 is unfamiliar to most of us because it's so seldom read, certainly not in church. It's a psalm of unrelieved darkness and pain. It is a song of a person who is in the grip of utter despair. The last words are, "And the darkness is my only friend." If we happen to run across it in our casual Bible reading, we're likely to quickly turn to the next one. But there it is, in the Bible, which is supposedly God's word of joy and hope and salvation, a prayer of despair. Certainly not the only place in the Bible where we walk in the dark. The passage we read today from Lamentations certainly does the same. He has made me sit in darkness like the dead of long ago. In fact, the darkness, the pain of human life is the main theme of the well-named book of Lamentations. But the darkness is there, hidden and forgotten often, all through the Bible. We live in a generally optimistic and positive culture. We solve problems. We make progress. We reward cheerfulness. And the church tends to follow along. The gospel is the answer to our problems. If we just follow God's word and do what God tells us to do, we will live a happy and fulfilled life. Faith gives us the buoyancy to float above the threatening waves of life. The season of Lent, beginning as it does on Ash Wednesday, is the church's antidote to the fear of the dark. Lent is an invitation to walk in the dark. The most memorable moment of this service is, of course, after all the moment after which it is named, when we will all come forward and have the ashes placed on our forehead with those words, "Dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Is that the way we should talk in church? We are people of faith. We are especially people of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We of all people should be positive and optimistic. Surely that's what faith is about, confidence, assurance. We are gospel people. We live by good news. Martin Luther, who sparked the Reformation, which we celebrate this year, the 500th anniversary, disagrees. He carefully distinguished in his writings between what he called the theology of glory, which he detested, and the theology of the cross, which he proclaimed. The theology of glory is the optimistic, head-in-the-sand, positive way of being a Christian that promotes a triumphant vision of the church and a gospel of prosperity and health and happiness. The theology of the cross understands that we live every day in the shadow of the cross until the glorious dawn of God's final victory. Here are a few of the 99 theses famously nailed to the door at Wittenberg. 18. It is certain that man must utterly despair of his own ability before he is prepared to receive the grace of Christ. That person does not deserve to be called a theologian who looks up upon the invisible things of God as though they were clearly perceptible in those things that actually happened. He deserves to be called a theologian, however, who comprehends the visible and manifold things of God seen through suffering and the cross. 21. The theology of glory calls evil good and good evil. The theology of the cross calls the thing what it actually is. These are words as relevant today as they were 500 years ago. A little closer to home, the Heidelberg Catechism famously begins with that wonderful first question and answer. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. The next question is this. What must I know to live and die in the joy of this comfort? First, I must know how great my sins and miseries are. Walking in the dark. Faith is not the same thing as confidence. It is certainly not the same thing as optimism. It is trust, which is a very different thing. In one way, we are Easter people. We live in the joy of that victory. But in another way, we are Holy Saturday people. In one way, we live in the promise of the resurrection of Christ. But in another way, we live on Holy Saturday, where the crucified Lord is locked in the tomb. We're walking in the dark while we wait the dawn. Our Easter joy is not saying that everything is fine or will be fine in this life. It is a not yet fully realized promise of victory. We know that Christ has been raised, but the world rolls on in the same old patterns as if it never happened. Death still stalks us on the path of life. At Steve Monsma's graveside last week, we read those well-worn words of the committal service. In the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, we commend to Almighty God our brother, and we commit his body to the ground, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. That day in the cemetery, you see, is Holy Saturday. Sunday's coming. And that's how faith works. Faith isn't some fragile thing that needs not be, faith isn't some fragile thing that needs to be afraid of looking long and hard into life's tragedies. It can handle whatever is thrown in our path. True faith walks in the dark. True faith is acquainted with grief. True faith lives alongside of despair. It deals with fear. It understands doubt. God's word takes us unabashedly to those dark places. It offers us a prayer in which we confess that darkness is our only friend. It invites us to read, as we did tonight, my teeth grind on gravel and cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, gone is my glory and all that I hope for from the Lord. And I'll bet some of you, some of us, have been there. It's a wonderful comfort that biblical faith enables us to walk into the darkest places without fear that our faith will fail us. Christians need not be afraid of probing the dark corners of their lives or of their own souls. The great Orthodox theologian Alexander Schmemann calls Lent a bright sadness. It's a sadness as we walk in the dark side of life, but that's where the light of Christ can shine even more brightly. This passage in Lamentation takes us to the middle of our deepest sorrows, its most frightening realities. And yet right in the middle of it all, stops to sing, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Faith is trust in the faithfulness of God even when we walk in the dark. Lent is a time to be honest with ourselves and with God. It's a time to let the uncomfortable, the frightening realities of life come out of the dark basement of our consciousness. The sins for which we are ashamed, the doubts and fears that we try to push away. Let's enter that bright sadness with the confidence of those words from the Gospel of John. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.